Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Jason LaConfora covers the NFL, of course, for CBS. Jason, how you doing, buddy?
Oh, you know, living the dream. Living the dream. One day closer to finally seeing this football game.
Dude, I was saying this earlier. I mean, the buildup is fun, but after a while, it's like, can we play the football game already? Let's go.
Yeah, there's only so many ways you can try to dissect it in your head, and so many storylines, and so many, you know, ooh, this is the X factor. Oh, this guy could be the under-the-radar hero. Like, 2 weeks is more than ample time to completely dissect this game. So, yeah, let's go kick it off.
Let me ask you about some of the things from tonight with the NFL honors. With the Hall of Fame, Ray Lewis, to me, that's easy.
Yeah.
I think he'll get in. You have a feel on who else joins him in the Hall of Fame later tonight?
I mean, I'm not a voter. I'm not a fan of the voting process. I quit the PFWA over a decade ago precisely because I thought this was an overly political and unduly non-transparent, if that's a word, process. But I have had a chance to run into several voters through the course of the week and just sort of get a bit of flavor and take their temperature. And yeah, even they know they have to put Ray Lewis in, although I'm sure there's some people there who might not want to. I still believe T.O. has an uphill battle, even though I personally find that staggeringly stupid, and I can't really understand why. But they seem intent on making him wait longer, although he has to get in at some point. I think Randy Moss has a good shot among the receivers. I think Tony Boselli is positioned very well, and it's not out of the realm of possibility that Faneca or Hutchinson joins him as another offensive lineman. And I think one of the safeties will probably get in. There's been a bit of a movement lately for Ty Law. Personally, I think of the three, Brian Dawkins is the best player. And then John Lynch, you know, is a bit of a media darling and is a great dude and was in the media for a long time and, you know, now is the kindler, gentler GM of the San Francisco 49ers. Not that any of that should matter, but if you follow this process, you come to find that it does matter.
Yes. Well, what would you – because we're all very familiar with the baseball voting, right, where you've got a million writers. You got to get 75% of the vote. Some people make their vote public, some don't.
Yeah.
Do you like that process better?
Well, I like that it is at least – seems to be more of an individual who did his homework, not who is the best politician inside this room with no cameras and zero transparency and no indication of – who did what, and it's like, who stumps better for his guy?
Right.
You know, if you give me this vote now, I'll vote for your guy next year. I mean, and if anybody tries to pretend that doesn't go on, then they're kidding themselves. But I don't know that that's the best way to figure out who was the one to five best football players who are eligible to go in this Hall of Fame right now. You know, I think the overly political nature of that process,
right,
leads to this whole, you know, these ancillary effects like, oh, well, we haven't put one of these in forever, so now we need to put one of that position in, or, oh, we're going to make this position keep waiting because there's not any more of them coming up for a while, or, oh, this guy. You know, you don't hear that with baseball, do
right.
you? I mean, oh, well, we need to put a catcher in now because then there's going to be a back. I just don't get that sense. I think that is a byproduct of this sort of bizarre nature where they all, you know, where one person from each city goes into a room. Many of them haven't covered the league in a long time, don't really pay attention to the league the way they probably should. And then they're charged with getting a particular guy in any given year. Doesn't do it for me.
So if I gave you a blank slate to say, all right, this is the perfect process, you have any idea what you would do?
I mean, perfect process? I don't
close to perfect then. Nothing is perfect.
I don't know exactly what that would entail. I think whether it's baseball, football, whatever, I think you should have to put your name to what you're doing. I don't know if there's a better way to start whittling things down before you have to reveal your sort of final ultimate vote on paper or otherwise. I mean, for a start, I think if you put a camera in that room, it would probably change some things.
Quick question on the other stuff going on the NFL. And we'll get to the game eventually. The Ravens made that announcement where Ozzie Newsome's going to step down in a year. DaCosta's going to take over. Surprised at all that Biscotti thought about getting rid of John Harbaugh, that went through his mind?
That part, I'm not surprised he thought about it. I'm surprised he said it. I don't know what was gained by saying it. I mean, if he has a brain, he's thinking about firing a lot of people there. So, since they were in the Super Bowl, you know, they've had a cycle of 5 years where they had one playoff run, and they actually had a chance to beat New England in that time. But other than that, most years, even when it looks like they're close to being in the playoffs like this year, they were a flawed, bad team, played a very easy schedule, faced nothing but backup quarterbacks, and couldn't beat Cincinnati at home to get in. They had a chance to beat Cincinnati a few years back to get in, couldn't do it. Had a chance to beat Pittsburgh, a division team, a year ago to get in right around Christmas Eve, couldn't keep Pittsburgh out of the end zone at the end of the game. It's been the same team for a while now. They don't have great cap space. They don't have many tradable commodities. They're picking at 16 right in the middle. Probably won't get a super blue chip guy. And they only have one player on their roster who's worthy of an extension in Mosley, the linebacker. So he should have been thinking about firing everybody. But to come out and say it, I don't know what's gained by that. I don't know what he thought he was alluding to. Harbaugh should have never signed a one-year contract a year ago. And if he didn't sign that sort of baloney extension, then this would be him going into a lame duck year. And then the owner would have had to either re-up for 5 years and say, you're my guy, and can you work with DaCosta? Or Harbaugh would have walked, and he would have gone and got $8 million a year for 5 years, you know, somewhere else in this latest hiring cycle. So this smells to me like an ugly lame duck year for the Baltimore Ravens.
Do you think it was said almost because, like, it's a way of saying this is a playoff or bust year without calling it that by making that comment?
It's a way of putting him on notice, I guess, but he's already on notice.
Right.
I mean, it doesn't really accomplish anything, and it reads to me like another sort of exoneration of the personnel side there, which, just go look at their last five drafts. I mean, they've taken guys you've probably never heard of, like, you know, Timmy Williams and Bronson Cafusi and this kid Correa and Chris Wormsley and Tyus Bowser. Those kids combined for zero sacks. They're all take day two picks the last couple years. You know, Breshad Perriman was a first-round pick. He's going to be cut after 2 years. Max Williams, a tight end, was a second-round pick. He's done literally nothing in his NFL career. Those were supposed to be starting tight end, starting wide receiver. Like, you can't keep missing on players like that and then have to pay, an in-the-box safety like Tony Jefferson, $9 million a year in free agency, and, you know, 10, 11 a year to Brandon Williams or whatever, a space-eating two-down D-tackle to keep your defense afloat because you haven't drafted well. Like, that's not their model. Mm-hmm. So, I think it kind of puts it on the coaches again, where their flaws there are total. I mean, it's from the owner to the personnel side. And I actually think the coaching staff has done a pretty good job.
Yeah. We're talking to Jason Lockenfour about the NFL. We'll get to the Super Bowl, obviously, tomorrow night with the Patriots and the Eagles. The Alex Smith trade, I thought, was very cool that it went down this week. It created kind of another topic of discussion for the last couple of days, including what happens to Kirk Cousins. So I ask you today, and we'll find out, I guess, in a couple of weeks once the league year opens and we get to free agency, what's your initial feel on where Kirk ends up?
I think he ends up with the Jets, and I think there's four or five teams that really kick the tires on him and want to spend time with him and you know, want to gauge the market. And then it's going to get down to some finalists, and maybe a third suitor really gets in the deep end of the pool besides the Jets and the Broncos. But I don't necessarily know that one will, nor does one have to, because he's going to get plenty of money. And, you know, I think he'll have his choice between those two teams at the end. And I think he's going to be a Jet.
Why do you think he chooses the Jets over the Broncos?
I think the Jets have already torn things down. the Broncos, in their heart of heart, know that they're a declining team and not an ascending team, and that they're going to be losing veteran talent over the next couple of years, starting with Aqib Talib and maybe Chris Harris. And then on the offensive side of the ball, once they're paying a quarterback, they're not going to be able to keep all those receivers. And frankly, the receivers are declining assets. The coach is, you know, he was almost fired a year ago. And the coaching staff there has been a perennial issue under John Elway. And then the expectation in Denver is when we get a veteran quarterback, we win the Super Bowl. That ain't the same defense. That ain't the same roster. That ain't the same head coach. You go to the Jets, and they've already torn it down, right? They've gone through the ugliness already. Sure. They got rid of David Harris. They got rid of Darrell Revis. They were supposed to go 0-16, right? They've got Jeremy Bates there, who is very close with Kyle Shanahan. The Shanahans drafted Kirk Cousins. They know exactly, you know, he knows that system inside and out. Rick Dennison's the run game coordinator, another Shanahan guy. They know exactly how to put Cousins into positions to succeed. Do they have a lot of weapons over there? No, but they have the better offensive line. They'll go get, you know, I think they'll try like heck to keep Austin Seferian Jenkins. They'll draft a receiver really high or maybe trade for a receiver. They will get him a few weapons. They have more cap space than God. And when's the last time the Jets have had even an above-average functional quarterback?
They've had years where guys have had really good years, but on a consistent basis.
Like go look at Cousins' numbers the last 3 years. When's the last time they've had that?
Well, you know, honestly,
I don't know if they've ever had that.
No, you know when they had it, believe it or not, Ryan Fitzpatrick 3 years ago had a great year. It was
no,
one
but
year.
He didn't do it 3 straight years.
Right? No, no, no. As far as doing
it, you got
it.
You know what I mean?
Basis.
And even Joe Namath wasn't like that prolific. I mean, I don't know. You know, we talking about Richard Todd having a few good years in the early '80s.
Chad had some good years. Pennington.
Yeah, Chad, but yeah. A pop gun arm. You know what I mean? Like not really the downfield stuff. Not super sexy, but super accurate and super cerebral. Like, I think people will be gaga, you know what I mean? Like what Washington says, not good enough, and what Denver is going to judge him by, well, Peyton Manning came here and went to a couple Super Bowls right away. Like, I just think it's a very different situation. I think they'll come at him in a holistic manner and say, we want you to be a part of rebuilding this offense. We've already got a decent offensive line. You know, we're going to Dennison here. We're going to run. We ran the ball okay. We're going to run it even better. You know, we've got pieces on defense. Look how we've drafted defense recent years. Now we're going to build this offense around you. And Bates and Dennison know exactly how to do it the way Kyle did it.
Let me throw another team at you out of curiosity, because I think the Buffalo Bills need to kind of straighten out their quarterback situation. They're middle of the pack cap-wise. Do you see them making a big run at them?
No, I think they. I see them being a team that will get one of the young quarterbacks, whether they have to give up. Look how many picks they have in the first three rounds.
They're loaded.
They didn't do that by accident. They didn't, you know, they didn't shed all those veterans to get all those picks to go give a quarterback $30 million a year. It's tough to do in that market. Where you can get a young one, control them for 5 years plus two franchise tags, and have them for $6 million a year the first 5 years, because they're still, you know. That Doug Whaley, Rex Ryan thing, the way some of his contracts were structured, they still have some more bloodletting to go there, and it's harder to do that when you got a quarterback taking up as much of your cap as Kirk Cousins eventually will. I know they like Kirk Cousins. He'd make some sense for them for sure, but I don't think they go to that, you know, to those extremes to get him, knowing they have the wherewithal to jump right up into the top couple of picks if need be.
What's your prediction for this game tomorrow?
I've been predicting 27-24 New England. I'm starting to think it might not be that close, but generally their Super Bowls aren't blowouts, and they do come down to the end. And so I guess I'm basically buying that narrative. You know, Brady drives them late, or the Pats defense makes a stand late, and they hold on for the win. We've had compelling Super Bowls by and large lately. I hope this one continues that trend. I think it will. But boy, it's hard to bet against Brady in these situations.
No, I think it's crazy to bet against him in these situations, yeah. To be honest.
But I get that this Eagles team has some of the template and the secret sauce that the Giants
have.
Oh,
yeah, they do.
But I just don't think it's an exact analogy.
Well, and also, I mean, can Nick Foles make a big play the way Eli was able to do?
Well,
both of those
that's
victims?
One of the keys. Look what he did last week against Minnesota. I mean,
sure.
He made three or four absolute big boy monster throws, two of them directly on touchdowns. they get four or five explosive plays like that, then we're going to have a football game.
Yeah, yeah, we shall see. Who's going to be the better head coach, Matt Patricia or Josh McDaniels? Josh, obviously, second time around.
Yeah, I mean, Josh has done it before. Josh is a little more experienced. You know, I think they both have the potential to be really good. And I think Josh, if ever anyone from that family tree was going to be a true rock star head coach, I mean, I'm not saying he has to be Belichick, but you know, one of these guys who all his peers end up looking up to and who goes on, you know, some tears. Again, not maybe eight bleeping Super Bowls, but, you know, is seen as one of the best coaches in the league. I think Josh has, you know, every chance in the world to be that guy.
Well, Jason, enjoy your last few hours in Minneapolis. Hopefully you have a good game to watch. I appreciate you coming on.
No worries, buddy. Have a good afternoon.
Thank you, man.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.